in your article and the title of the article, which we've just put up on Twitter at David Webb Show, with each central bank move, nations are impoverished more. You state, or you write, to be more accurate, based on the linear understanding of modern economics, a QE2 in the United States was good for 0.25% increase in global growth expectations for 2011 and for 3% growth in the United States in 2012, and good for 3% growth in the United States in 2012. Are you saying that we had where was that 3% growth?
Well, that was the IMF forecast. So in the IMF conventional economic understanding, QE2 was good for good growth. They anticipated an upswing in growth because the Federal Reserve engaged in quantitative easing.
So they consider printing money, essentially, is what it's commonly called, growth, not the growth of wealth or actual new wealth.
No, and if you understand what conventional economics is trying to accomplish, they equate money as essentially aggregate demand. You know, they talk about aggregate demand all the time. Money and demand for them is one and the same. So in the linear thinking of conventional economics, if you increase the supply of money through whatever means, you also increase activity, economic activity. So for the IMF sitting in January 2011, the fact that the Fed had engaged in QE2 meant unquestionably that the economy was going to recover, not just in the U.S., but globally, because money would find a way to move from the Fed outside or inside or wherever it wanted to go.
My guest is Jeffrey Schneider. He is the chief investment strategist for Alhambra Investment Partners in Florida. Jeffrey, I got to tell you, I wouldn't let these guys file my simplest tax form. All right?
I don't think any of them know how.
There's a lot of good stuff in your article. It's significant what you have in this article. But just based on what you just said, they believe, when it's contradicted even by Ben Bernanke, who sat in New York 6 weeks ago and talked about what the tepid growth in the past year, revisions down to 1.9% in the third quarter, and the fact that we could expect maybe 0.9% in the first quarter and maybe 1.2%. You know, I mean, when we talk about that, these guys are idiots, aren't they?
Well, these are those mysterious headwinds. They're mysterious because if you don't see them or your models don't capture them, they're always going to confuse you. But the fact of the matter is, when you repress the dollar, you repress currency, you're not going to have a robust economic system. That's just basic human nature. Human actions and agents crave stability. That's what we need for a robust economic growth more than anything. It's just stability.
But doesn't that stability also, it's kind of a cyclical thing. It's like the never-ending cycle. I call it the hamster wheel sometimes.
Yeah.
Doesn't that also, Jeffrey, then need a solid economic foundation, real growth, not printed money that's out as growth? I mean, if not, then we're Spain, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece.
It's the very important distinction between money and capital, and there's a difference there. You can't print capital. Capital means something. Capital is not just money. It's success. It's economic success. You create capital by creating successful enterprises. You can't just print that into existence by, you know, increasing the digital balance on the Fed's balance sheet and transferring it to the primary dealer network or wherever it goes. Capital is successful business. And the way conventional economics is set up, that's not what's being valued. What's being valued, again, as I said before, is money is equated with aggregate demand. Therefore, capital is completely discounted and denied.
Can I get you a job at the Fed? I mean, can you become chief advisor there, Jeff?
I don't know. I don't know if the Fed is too far gone, I think, in some ways. You know, you mentioned before, they're confounded by empirical reality, which is they have had a lack of success, but yet there's no effort to understand why that is. There's no effort to say, okay, maybe our theories and our philosophies are wrong. We should probably try something different. It's always the same answer. We just need to go bigger. So I don't know. The Fed might just be unreformable at this point.